brain health has been very popular in the news lately, and this podcast is for you if you've ever had brain fog, cognitive decline, Alzheimer's, CTE, any of these issues. This is the podcast where we're going to jump into the latest research from Dr. Dale Bredesen, Dr. Daniel Amen, Dave Asprey of the Bulletproof Diet, so many other people, all the minds that are really out there paving the way, blazing a path for new research, new strategies that are actually working to get your brain optimized and working at its highest level. The Brain Builders Podcast is just for you. So get a notebook, get a pen, and get ready to open up your mind and get back to the person that you were meant to be. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Brain Builders Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. John DeWitt. And today we're going to get back into Dave Asprey's book, Headstrong, The Bulletproof Plan to Activate Untapped Brain Energy to Work Smarter and Think Faster in Just 2 Weeks. So now we're going to talk about environmental mold here in just a second. But first, as you know, your neurons are dependent on your mitochondria for energy. So when you have dysfunctional mitochondria, you have dysfunctional neurons. It's a vicious cycle that you can end by avoiding toxins and helping your body to detox from the ones that are already hurting your brain. So earlier in the podcast, we learned that mitochondria are microscopic bacteria that power our cells and influence how we respond to our environment. And as we saw earlier, bacteria have been locked in a mortal struggle with mold since the dawn of time, each producing toxins to inhibit the other. So is it any wonder that mold and the toxins it produces could hinder the function of your mitochondria? Mold creates toxic chemicals or mycotoxins at levels that are typically far too low for you to smell or taste, but that doesn't mean they aren't making their way into your body through your lungs and skin, not to mention your food and water. Even scarier, some species of mold make different toxins that act synergistically, meaning each type of toxin amplifies the effects of the other. According to a major research paper about mold and mitochondria, there are no safe levels of mycotoxins. Dave Asprey agrees with this, but he also acknowledges that it's impossible to completely avoid mycotoxins unless you live in a bubble. So he works to minimize his exposure when it's convenient and accept low exposure when it's worth it. Paranoia is just another form of stress, and that's bad for your mitochondria too. The impact of mycotoxins on your health depends on a few factors: the type and amount of mycotoxin to which you've been exposed, the duration of exposure, the other toxins present in your environment, and your personal health profile, which includes your age, sex, genetic background, etc. Your diet also plays a key role in your susceptibility to these toxins. If you're missing certain vitamins, not eating enough, or abusing alcohol, your mitochondria are already weakened and therefore more vulnerable to attack. If they then take a hit from mycotoxins, you're going to feel pretty awful. So about 25% of the or 28% of the population has a genetic sensitivity to mold. For these people, exposure to mycotoxins can cause a variety of symptoms that include brain fog, cognitive issues, fatigue, joint pain, nausea, weight gain, chronic sinusitis, and asthma. He is one of these people. As you read earlier, he grew up in a house that had a water-damaged basement with mold growing behind our innocent-looking wood paneling. Hey, it was the 70s. As a kid, he had strep throat every month. He had nosebleeds 10 times a day, rashes, asthma, bruising, obesity, and arthritis at age 14. When he was tested for allergies, the results always came back negative. Finally, when he was 16, his tonsils were removed in an attempt to prevent me from getting another throat infection. He got his first sinus infection the following week. He remembers going to the doctor and saying, "I feel like I've been poisoned." No one thought to look in my environment for the source of that poison before prescribing antibiotics, which are actually derived from mold toxins. No wonder he felt like crap. He needed something to support his mitochondria, not to add more toxins to the assault. Even if you fall into the 75% of people who are less sensitive to mycotoxins, you're not off the hook. Not only do mycotoxins cripple your mitochondrial function, they also trigger an inflammatory immune response. The more frequently you are exposed to mold, the more chronically inflamed you are likely to become. Eventually, your immune system becomes hypersensitive to the threat and responds to the presence of even a tiny amount of mold toxins right away. We call this response an allergy. In addition to triggering an inflammatory response throughout your body, toxic mold exposure also causes the space between your cells to become wider. This leads your cell membranes and your blood-brain barrier to become more permeable. You do not want either of those barriers to be anything less than airtight. When cellular barriers become leaky, fluid, plasma, and other foreign particles can travel unrestricted to parts of the body where they don't belong, namely your brain. Much like the way the blood-brain barrier protects the brain, a similar type of barrier controlled by a series of tightly locked cellular junctions protects the lining of your gut. As we learned earlier, these junctions are loosened when you're exposed to toxic mold, allowing foreign particles like partially digested food to leak out of the gut and enter the bloodstream. Of course, your body detects these foreign intruders as the hazards they are and sounds the inflammation alarm to attack them. Over time, this inflammatory response becomes automatic. Your body feels like it's constantly under attack and mounts a counteroffensive against substances and foods that may have never bothered you before. Maybe you were previously able to eat gluten or dairy products without a problem, but now you feel terrible if you have even a tiny serving of either. That's because the permeability of the gut lining allowed particles of these foods to leak out. And after your body constantly launched an attack against these foods, you developed an allergy to them. The 25% of people like Dave who are extra sensitive to mold toxins are the canaries in the coal mine for everyone else. Exposure to mold may affect us more dramatically, but if we're suffering, chances are you're suffering too. Let's give you an example. Not long ago, he attended a professional conference in San Diego. One night, they were scheduled to go on a dinner cruise around the city. From the moment I stepped onto the boat, he noticed that it smelled like a mop, a dead giveaway that there was mold in the air. He considered heading back to the dock, but he really wanted to spend time with the other conference attendees, so he decided to take the mitochondrial hit. Remember, once you know about the effect of toxins on your brain, exposure is largely within your control. In this case, he thought the upside would be worth the risk. The next day at the conference, he struggled over and over again to come up with the right words as he was giving his keynote presentation. This problem used to plague him daily, and it made him feel stupid, but after years of hacking his mitochondria and upgrading his brain, it never happened to him anymore. He can rely on his brain to perform at a consistently high level. So his sudden inability to recall words was noticeable and embarrassing to him. By the way, it's not normal for anyone to experience word recall problems. It's a symptom of impaired brain function, not just a part of getting older. The day after that, he became really fatigued. He had stomach cramps, sugar cravings, and was constipated. Another day later, his face broke out. He developed canker sores in his mouth and had a nosebleed for the first time in years. That night, he slept for 12 hours compared to his usual 5 or 6 and still had no energy the next day. He felt like total garbage. He had also grown love handles from the inflammation. He had a chance to hang out with Marshall Goldsmith that day, a successful business author he's long admired, and we had our photo taken together. When he posted it online, one of his followers commented on the sudden appearance of his inflammation-driven man boobs. Delightful. While his body's response to mold may be more extreme than yours, most people experience some version of these symptoms without recognizing the source. Toxic mold exposure hits your brain mitochondria first, then your gut, and then your skin, and it can really damage your performance in the process. He wasn't the only one at the conference who felt exhausted the day after the cruise. Some people said their allergies were acting up, and others blamed their fatigue and sluggishness on being hungover, even though they drank very little. Consider this story to be a cautionary tale. If you're not performing well or don't feel like yourself, there's always a reason. When he interviewed brain disorder specialist and best-selling author Daniel Amen, MD, about the effects of toxic mold exposure, he told him that it's never normal to have impaired cognitive function. If you suddenly can't remember things, you shouldn't just dismiss it as a common symptom of getting older. Instead, pay attention to your body's signals, no matter how subtle. They could be signs of trouble ahead. Dr. Amen told him that it's possible for mold exposure to impair your brain enough that if you were to take an IQ test before and after exposure, you could score 15 points lower after exposure. How crazy is that? Think about the off days you've had and you just couldn't focus and blamed on not trying hard enough. What if it wasn't a lack of effort that impaired your performance, but instead it was exposure to toxins that impaired your mitochondrial function? Through the use of his SPECT brain scan technology, Dr. Amen is able to observe how mold affects the brain on a physical level. He explained that in the scans he's seen, mold exposure visibly damages the amygdala, which is the part of the brain that is involved in impulsive, reactive emotions such as fear, anger, and anxiety. An impaired amygdala can cause you to fly into a rage for seemingly no reason. This can devastate your performance, not to mention your relationships. Dr. Amen says that people whose brain scans reveal toxic mold exposure often hate themselves because they don't know why they're having such a difficult time controlling their emotions. That is, until they see the damage of the in the image of their brain looking visibly impaired. Maybe you're thinking, that's too bad, but it could never happen to me without me knowing it. Well, here are some numbers that might surprise you. Close to 50% of the buildings in the United States contain water damage. That's largely because in the 1970s, we started making buildings out of drywall, which absorbs moisture. This creates an ideal environment for mold to grow. Around the same time, we tried to keep mold at bay by adding fungicides to our paint. Unfortunately, the mold outsmarted us, mutating and creating a fungicide-resistant species that makes even more mycotoxins. Isn't that lovely? It's also important to note that once mold grows in your home or office or school, it quickly spreads to contaminate everything else around you, your clothes, your furniture, and all of your belongings. Carpets in particular are porous and will sop up toxic mold. This means that even if you pack up and leave a moldy house, you're literally just taking your problem with you unless you get rid of your belongings too. Despite all the evidence to support how damaging toxic mold is, especially for the brain, most doctors don't learn about mold in medical school and aren't able to recognize toxic mold exposure in their patients. As a result, many people who are suffering from the symptoms of mycotoxin exposure are often dismissed, misdiagnosed, or treated with psychological illness instead of their very real physical illness. Dave was fortunate enough to interview Dr. Scott McMahon, a leading expert in chronic inflammatory response syndrome, or CIRS, SIRS, which often stems from exposure to mycotoxins. Dr. McMahon estimates that at least half of his patients were told by their previous doctors that they were either crazy or imagining their symptoms. A huge number of them were prescribed Zoloft, while others were simply sent on their way. Understandably, many of them grew depressed and even became suicidal. This is why it's so important for you to listen to your body and to know how to protect yourself and your brain from exposure to mycotoxins. Granted, sometimes this is easier said than done, but the following steps will help you avoid mold and recover from toxic effects if you have been exposed. We're going to go into as many of these as we can in the next couple minutes. Avoid water-damaged buildings. Waterlogged building materials are the perfect breeding ground for mold. Avoid living, working, or attending school in any building that has been damaged by water from a flood, broken pipes, condensation, or water leaks of any kind until a licensed mold specialist has remediated the building. Water stains on the walls or ceilings or a funky smell should be enough to tell you not to spend time in a building. If you enter a hotel room and notice a musty smell, ask for a new room. Schools, government buildings, and older structures are at high risk because they usually aren't well maintained. The number of the school buildings that are interfering with our children's ability to learn thanks to mold is horrifying. Prevent, identify, and repair water leaks. Keep your drains, toilets, and pipes in good working order to prevent flooding. Have the pipes in your home professionally inspected for leaks? Leaks are often hidden behind walls or cabinets, so you can't tell they're there just by looking. Inspectors can use an infrared camera to find hidden leaks. If you find water leaks, repair them immediately and dry the area quickly. When he had a recent leak in his home office, he dried the area right away and misted it with homebiotic, a form of probiotic bacteria that compete with toxic mold. Creating balance as a preventive measure is a better strategy than waiting for damage to occur and then treating it with chemicals. Check baseboard ceilings and walls for soft spots, stains, or other signs of water damage. Also be sure to keep your roof well maintained. It will not only keep you dry, but it will also prevent you from having to deal with a very expensive mold remediation later. So we are going to continue next time on environmental mold. If you would like to register for the Brain Builders Masterclass, it starts November 16th. It's the updated 2.0 version. You can register in the description of the podcast. And it's going to be exciting. We had 75 people in the last one, and we're excited to have even more in this one. We have a lot of speakers and from a variety of different professions. It's going to be really, really exciting. So register for that. That is it for today's episode of the Brain Builders Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. John DeWitt. Have a phenomenal day.